Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the closing market report. It is the 26th day of July, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us from Atchison, Kansas, is Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Hi, Mike. How are you this afternoon?
Good, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. What kind of skies do you have out there in the great big West?
Weather's breaking. We had about 0.4 inch of rain, it looked like, overnight, and now we're starting to see a secondary cool front come through, so we're getting sunny, and we're getting windy again, so the moisture is probably not going to last too long unless we get some follow-up with the wind starting to pick up.
0.4, I suppose, is better than nothing when you're kind of dry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, the Kansas City News was joking at noontime. They wondered what that was that was falling out of the sky. So it goes down pretty far, and, you know, you get it south of Kansas City, it sounds like it gets better, but you also get out of corn and bean country at that point, too.
Mm-hmm. And so what'd you make of the trade for the day?
Well, I kept hitting the reset button this week, Todd, and it didn't do a darn bit of good. So I'm going to send my Staples reset button back. But I guess the big thing I noticed was...
Was that for your new office?
Yeah, that's right. No, the big thing for the lead month corn I noticed was that we came from July 11th in lead month corn when July was still lead month futures of a high of 730. 15 days later now, we've broken to 490. That $2.40 price break in that time period, I couldn't find a similar one until I went back to the financial crisis when we dropped from 761 at the end of June to 494 in the beginning of August. And so when I see something like that, I just can't think that it's all about the cash markets, all about the basis, all about farmer selling. I think it has a lot to do with funds. And I think one of the newer stories that's starting to develop that we're going to have to dig deeper into next week in the analytical world is the idea that USDA is looking at using sugar for ethanol and opening up a 2008 law to sell sugar at a loss to ethanol producers. And they also are thinking in the RIN world, the ethanol RIN world, and some of the speculators in the markets are wondering, because of the big break in the prices and RINs, that the mandate that is scheduled to go from 10 to 15% is not going to be raised. In other words, some news is going to be coming out, and the speculation is that it's not going to be increased as far as the mandate. So I think when you get big breaks like this, there's got to be something bigger underneath the break that has helped it push it, and that the basis and the front-end lead month corn and beans getting hit so hard had something underneath it more than just farmer selling or the weather turning better.
The sugar growers have been really active in Washington, D.C. over the last, I think, about a year. But one of maybe only a handful of commodities that has done really, really poorly in the last 5 years as opposed to really well, I guess.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Reuters reported today, and this is what was very interesting and probably needs to be looked at more. They're reporting that about $405 million in sugar loans issued by USDA to guarantee the minimum price to the growers will start to mature here in the coming weeks. And if those market prices are below that loan price, then processors will go ahead and forfeit the sugar to the USDA and keep the loan money. And I'm not trying to connect a dot here, but I think that, again, when you see a break in corn at the size of what we had during the financial crisis, I just don't think it can all be about weather, and it can't all just be about farmer-related selling. So it leads me to think that if the cash market is still got a strong demand, and demand is not shifted or manipulated or the curve is not changed by a government policy shift, then what we face just now is a short-term issue.
Well, the expectations in the futures market is that they look to see, right, what things might happen in the future, and the RFS certainly is one of those things that they've been discussing a lot in the last week, and there's, in the news at least, a lot of consideration that it will be changed in the coming year for 2014, and I'm wondering how much that has to do with soybeans and soybean oil as opposed to other things, but maybe both.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. I think the distinction between meal and corn right now is that the meal processor has nothing to use as a substitute. He really has to rely upon imports or shut it down. And shutting it down raises the price so that it encourages more selling. But if the beans aren't out there anyway, what good does it do to raise the price? And I think this is where I see a difference, economically speaking, between the corn and the soybean meal. And I think the other point goes back to, if we do see a big shift from corn-blended ethanol to sugar-blended ethanol, what does that do to the DDG market? That's where we're going to have to start digging into what are the ingredients, what are the protein levels and things like that, as far as can they be substitutes at the DDG level as well.
Okay, so if we did that, and I'm not going to play devil's advocate, because I don't think it would be sugarcane sugar that would be replacing, right? It would have to be beet sugar from the northern regions, because the ethanol plants aren't that far south. Sugarcane, it would be New Orleans and further south into Florida, but the beet producers would be up north.
I think that's a great point.
All right. So it's possible, I guess.
I think it's possible.
I'm trying to think out loud, Mike. I'm going with you.
And I think this is where the market, you know, when they see Washington investigating the big banks, the Federal Reserve investigating the big banks and them holding physical commodities, and then you get stories like this, I think then these kind of price breaks, and what you just said about the market anticipating in the futures market, that's its job. That's exactly right. And so that's where I'm trying to clear up at the end of the week with clients and subscribers. This isn't all just about farmer-related selling and a turn in good weather. I think there's some other things out there.
And so you really think that there's more than just a, and I'll just frame it as a wall of corn that'll be coming into the marketplace that's at foot here then?
I do, because the weekly stocks report, Todd, that was just issued this Tuesday showed we had about 18.5 million bushels of corn at the big elevators and the terminals around the United States. That's 63% of what we had last year at this time. And for soybeans, we had 3 million bushels of soybeans in the terminals and elevators on the Tuesday report by USDA. That's 24% of what we had last year at this time. I don't think there's a lot of corn out there to be had.
Okay, let's talk about soybeans just a bit. On the weekly charts for the week, soybeans, the lead option August contract, down $1.41. It's a huge break.
It is, and I think this is where the August and the September contracts are joining forces. I think this is where you're going to have this issue where the August and September contracts come together, and they're on the way to do that right now. And like we talked about this morning, the meal delivery on the first notice day on July 31st, I think it's going to be extremely important, because you're not encouraging imports at this stage by taking prices down so sharply, and by cutting the supply side, how are you going to meet the demand side in 30 to 45 days? I think crush margins will be so good at that point, then you'll really see demand come back. So this is where, what do we do with the minimal deliverable stocks we probably will have? And I think that's where August meal will continue to be the leader for the foreseeable future.
Okay, Mike, so it's all about price discovery, and from your side, you're watching both the charts, you're watching the fundamentals, trying to figure out what's happening. Have you changed your mind about where you should be positioned at this point and what the marketplace might look like in the next 6 months?
No, not at all. In fact, okay. I think we are due to test the 490 level in December corn again and confirm that as resistance. If I see that tested and we break through the 490 and we get back above it, then I'll be back on track. If we hit the 490 level, can't get above it, Todd, I think that's where I would do more paper positions. But I'm pretty secure in the mindset at this stage. Bins will pay at this point between the basis and between the cash markets and between the wet corn that we're going to have to store and dry down anyway. Use the bins at this stage.
Okay. Are you telling end users that they ought to buy?
Yes. In fact, 6 months' worth of feed was bought when we hit 520 September corn, what was it, a month ago. I went ahead and put a recommendation out on last night's copy. Go to 12 months worth, cover it in the September, December, March, May, and July contracts. Don't go any farther out than July, but buy 12 months worth at this stage.
You know you're counter to a lot of folks, right?
I'm sorry?
You know you're counter to a lot of folks.
Yes, I do, but I think this is where the market really is. When you have the trade in the government data, be as rough as it's been on us for the last couple, 3 years, I think you just keep your eye on the cash market, and the demand side of the equation is improving. I mean, South Korea had its best growth in 2 years. Japan had its highest inflation since 2008, and we're seeing our housing market really take off. And so I think economic demand is starting to come around, and that rotation out of stocks and back into commodities, I still am a believer in.
Okay. You and Zwicker were both believers in that, although I'm not sure that Zwicker's staying with you, Mike.
I've lost the other Z-man.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. I like it when there's disagreement among the analysts because it makes it more fun to talk about it on the air. I know it's tougher on some of the analysts sometimes.
And it's tough on the producers, too.
It is.
That's where... And I don't think, you know, from my standpoint, being medium term, I don't think it's healthy to jump in and out of one going one way or the other. So you got to believe in what you're saying as long as you think you're still on the right path.
Well, thank you so much for believing. Thanks for being with us. Have fun in Atchison. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.